everyone. We're getting ready for Monday Manna Bible Study.
All right.
Anointed Temple of Praise, Christian Church Disciples of Christ. We're looking for you to tune in on tonight.
Yep, this is a blessed day. It's a hot day here in the city of Memphis, but we praise God for another day that He's allowed us to see. And we're certainly grateful for how God continues to sustain us in the midst of everything that we're going through. And so we give Him praise for the sunshine as well as the rain. We thank Him for the good days as well as the bad days. We thank Him for the days in which we don't get clarity in terms of our direction, because the Bible reminds us that the steps of a good man or woman are ordered by the Lord. And so we know that God is going to order our steps and lead us in the way in which He would have us to go. And so we praise God for another day. Isn't that right?
Amen.
All right.
Glad to see it.
Glad to see it. Glad to be a part of it.
Yes.
Glad to be involved, and glad to still know that God has included us in the plan that He has in store, and it lets us know that He's not through with us yet.
Yes.
Okay. All right. Well, we're in the Psalms, 73 Psalms of David, and this is going to be an extensive time of study. I believe it's going to be a powerful study, Lady Kim, as we dissect and just look at this journal, if you will, of David's experiences. And it's going to reveal something about what David had to endure, but I also think it's going to help us in dealing with the issues that we face on the regular, and give us a sense of understanding and a reassurance that if God was with David, He sure would be with us. And
Amen.
So this is going to be a very exciting study. We started last week just kind of introducing and getting into some of the particulars about how this study would develop and how it would continue to flow. There are 73 Psalms of David, and we're going to look at those particular Psalms and not the whole book of Psalms.
Mm-hmm.
Is that right?
That's right.
Okay. Well, let's have a word of prayer as we get started. Y'all let us know that sound is good and that y'all can hear us and that we're on and that we're ready to go. We'll probably be on about 40 minutes, and then we'll ask that you have any prayer requests or praise reports. You go ahead and put those in the box, and we will definitely lift up any prayer requests, any concerns, and we will rejoice with you over any things that have happened in your life over this past week. You know, whenever it happened, we still want to rejoice with you. Isn't that right?
That's right.
Okay, let's pray. Father, we bless you. We honor you. We thank you for this day. Thank you for our lives. Thank you for your Spirit's abiding presence. Thank you for being God all by yourself. Thank you for another opportunity to gather ourselves around your word,
yes,
to study your word. Your word is indeed a lamp unto our feet,
yes,
and a light unto our pathway.
Yes.
So we pray your blessings to be upon us as we engage in this study. Open our eyes that we might see, open our ears that we might hear,
yes,
and then God direct us in the way in which you would have us to go. Now God, we pray that the words of our mouths and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight. You are our strength and our redeemer. In Jesus' name we pray, amen,
amen.
And praise God.
Amen.
All right, a long day on yesterday, a blessed day yesterday, Lady Kim.
It was.
And so just give us a little highlight, if you will. I use a different word to kind of help you with giving us some understanding about what has happened. And if you don't mind just sharing with us a little bit about the service on yesterday.
Yes, well, your sermon topic was, it's time to walk it out. When you said that, I thought about the dance, walk it out.
Walk it out.
but it's time to walk it out. And you talked about when Jesus went up to Jerusalem and he went to the Pool of Bethesda.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it had five porches with all kind of lame people sitting around and waiting for the stirring of the water.
Okay.
And Jesus walked up to a lame man and asked him, did he want to, well, he, first of all, he had been lame, been in his condition for 38 years.
Okay. Okay.
And Jesus asked him, do you want to be made well? And that's a perplexing question. Well, really, it's not a perplexing question, because the man had been there 38 years waiting for somebody to put him in the water. Of course he wanted to be healed.
Right.
But
right.
I guess Jesus wanted him to reflect on, you know, did he really want this for himself? He said, do you, and immediately, to me, he made an excuse. He said, well, he didn't even answer Jesus' question. He said, I don't have anybody to put me in the water when the angel comes to stir the water. And Jesus said, you know, take up your bed and walk, you know. And immediately, you know, it said that he began to walk. He was made well. So you had some interesting points that sometimes our faith is worn down by the length of time we've had our problem.
That's right.
Sometimes we can have a problem so long, our problem can become our,
become a crutch.
It can become a crutch, but it, you know, it also can become our faithless guide.
Wow.
That's a made-up word. That's a Kim Murray word, our faithless God, because we lose faith in the ability that God can change our situation. And so our faith is chipped away by our problem instead of us chipping our problem away by our faith. So we thank you, Holy Ghost.
I know, right?
And so, you know, sometimes our faith is worn down by our problem. We've been in that situation so long, we don't believe that God can do anything about it, that God can help us to change our situation. And then the second thing you said was sometimes our faith is worn down by the number of times our hopes have been raised and they're frustrated. And a lot of times we get our hopes up so high, you know, people promise us things. We have our hopes up. They're going to do something for us and they don't come through. And so our hopes are dashed. Our faith is fractured. Somebody else or something else that we're looking forward to doesn't come to fruition. And so our faith again is fractured and it's dashed. And so, you know, our faith is worn down because every time it seems like we're right there on the edge, right there on the precipice, right there on the threshold, something happens to knock us back down, and it also knocks our faith meter back down a couple of steps. And so Jesus said, take up your bed and walk. We have to look at our problems sometimes. We have to analyze our problems sometimes. And sometimes, you know, our problem is us.
Wow, that's good.
Yeah.
That's good.
Just our inability to believe that God is still able to do something.
And, you know, we never know when God is going to show up and release us from whatever it is that's holding us down. And I think many times people become frustrated because they have been carrying their issue and their problem for so long and haven't seen any results. And little did this man know that God was going to show up. Jesus was going to show up that day and that his deliverance was going to come. And so we have to continue to have faith, and we can't grow weary. We can't give up. We can't lose hope. We got to continue to trust the timing of God, because he may not come when we want him to, but we need to have the blessed assurance in knowing that he's always right on time.
Amen.
And even though this man was there for some 38 years, I think that it was his time when Jesus showed up. And so we have to have that kind of assurance. We have to have a blessed assurance, even if we don't have insurance.
All right. Looks like we keep freezing for some reason.
I think so. But we'll just keep going right on through, and hopefully that'll pan out. And that, let us know if you're getting a clear signal and that you are getting the feed. But it's technical difficulties. It's not anything on our part. And we'll just keep going right on through with the lesson as we move through tonight. And on yesterday afternoon, Lady Kim, we also had an opportunity to celebrate with our tallest Timothy as he was officially installed as the pastor of the New Bethel Baptist Church right here in Memphis, Tennessee, South Parkway. And a glorious time it was. And so we celebrated with Pastor Marquise McPherson as he had his people to come and Many of our members were there. We've spent, Pastor Marquise has spent a considerable amount of his time with us in ministry and growing in ATOP's ministry. And so it was befitting that we would have an opportunity to partake and be a part of that. And the conditions just so happened for it to be where it was held at ATOP. But if they had had the service at his church, probably wouldn't have had enough room.
Right.
It would have been standing room. But God worked that thing out, and we praise God for our son in ministry, and we praise God for the New Bethel Church as they continue to move forward and do great things for the Lord.
Amen.
Okay. All right. Well, we're as we indicated, those of you who are just joining us, we're in the book of Psalms, and we're going to look at specific areas of the psalm as we dissect and talk about the 73 Psalms of David. And so, as I said earlier, I believe these psalms are going to really give us clarity in terms of sharing with us some things that about David, and it's going to share some things that's going to help a lot of us, I believe, because the psalms really, Lady Kim, deals with the essence of who God is, and we'll see that coming out in these psalms. And I think on last week, as we went through the introduction, you gave us five pivotal areas of how we were going to share in terms of how this whole, the sections were broken down into some specific order. I think the first one had to do with God being beside us, how God is beside us. And then the second part deals with how God goes before us. And then the third section talks about how God is all around us. And the fourth section talks about how God is above us. And then the last section of these 73 Psalms that we're going to explore, it talks about how God is among us. And so each of these Psalms that we're going to lift up and deal with, they're going to really begin with a title and end with a conclusion. Mm-hmm. And we'll see a lot of praise in these psalms. We'll see a lot of the things that David had to endure in these psalms. We'll see a lot of ourselves in these psalms. And so I'm excited about this study. I think we got through chapter 1, and did we finish chapter 2 on last week? Okay, so we'll pick it up in chapter 2. That would be one of the psalms that's attributed to these 73 psalms. The first psalm as well as the second psalm. And so I think this second psalm really kind of gives us a clear indication about the heathens, how they reject God, and how we should serve and trust God. Mm-hmm. And so that's a very clear distinction there. And this second psalm really kind of gives us some handles, if you will, in terms of how that behavior is in existence even today.
Absolutely.
You know, we still have, when you think about a heathen, that's a person who has not accepted the Lord as their Savior. Mm-hmm. Or a person who's still living in sin. Mm-hmm. Or who's not saved.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
So there's a distinct difference between one who's saved and one who's not. In that first psalm, it talks about the godly and the ungodly.
Right.
And the behavior of each should be clear, because even elsewhere in the Bible, it says that a tree is known by the fruit that it bears. And so there's some fruit that should be expressed in the life of a believer that lets you know, without even asking the question, that their behavior is lining up with what they believe about God.
Amen.
Okay.
Amen.
All right. So this second psalm really kind of gives us some clarity in terms of how we ought to trust God and how we ought to believe in Him and how God has great things in store for us as a result of us trusting in Him. Mm-hmm. And believing that He's well able. Because, you know, if we serve a God who's all-powerful, Lady Kim, mm-hmm. and He is in control, And even though things may appear to be out of control, I believe that many times God allows things to happen to stretch our faith and to get us to trust him even more and really to see what we're made out of.
Right.
Because if there were no trials, if there were no tribulations, there were no difficulties that we would have to endure, we wouldn't know that we could face them.
Mm-hmm.
And so sometimes
we would need God if we
if we could handle it ourselves.
Yeah, we mm-hmm. would need God. We would be self-sufficient.
That's right. That's mm-hmm. right. And so James says the trying of our faith is what worketh patience.
Right.
And so I always say a faith that's not tested is one that can't be trusted. If you haven't gone through anything, if you haven't been, your faith hasn't been tried, then that's a real kind of scary situation, because you can't tell me about what it means to be healed if you haven't been sick.
Okay.
You follow what
right.
I'm saying?
Right.
And so if you know the Lord can bring you out of a desperate situation where you had to rely on nobody but him, then you can speak boldly and confident in the fact that God is able to see you through some other things.
Absolutely.
And so yeah. this psalm here really just kind of sets the tone for how the heathen rejects God mm-hmm. and how the believer should serve God.
Right. And you know, we go back to that scripture where it says that we're born in sin and shaping in iniquity.
Okay.
So we like sin
mm-hmm.
as people. We're born into sin. We're born with a sinful nature.
Okay.
And because we're born with a sinful nature, we're heathens.
Right.
Yeah,
right.
And until we accept Christ is our Lord and Savior, once we accept him, then we begin to believe, mm-hmm. then God begins to manifest things and work things out in our lives. The heathen rage, mm-hmm. the question is asked, why do the heathens rage?
Right, right.
You know, we can look on the news every night, you know, about mass shootings, killings everywhere, and, you know, even in our own city, the heathens rage. But you know what? God is still in control.
That's right. That's right. All right.
So,
that wasn't a freeze. I just had a mouthful of ice.
I don't know why you put all that ice in your mouth.
I don't need it.
All right. So we need to serve God faithfully. Once we come to know him as Lord and Savior of our lives, we need to serve him faithfully.
That's the heathens in there. What is that all in the back?
And you know, there were kings and rulers of that time who were against God.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But then there were also people who loved the Lord,
right,
who loved
right,
God.
Right. Well, even as we kind of, and we're not going to read all of that, that's the second psalm. It really kind of brings us to a conclusion that the day we put our trust in God is a coronation day.
Mm.
And I thought about a coronation. It's really about a ceremony mm-hmm. or a crowning and a blessing. It's all about being consecrated. And so when we put our trust in God, even though we are faced with difficulties and trials and tribulations and things don't always line up and work out according to our timetable or our agenda, we know that God is going to see us through.
Yes, he will.
And in the end, it's going to be a coronation. It's going to be a crowning.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be a consecration. It's going to be a blessing. And so that lets me know, as Paul would say in the 8th division of Romans, and we know that all things work together for good to those who love God and to those who are the called according to his purpose. And so there are going to be some things that we don't completely understand. There are going to be some times when our faith will be tested, but we have to trust in the Lord with all of our hearts, as Proverbs would declare, and lean not unto our own understanding. And in all of our ways, not just some of our ways, but in all of our ways, acknowledge him. And guess what? He's promised to direct our path.
He's promised.
So this second psalm should really give us a sense of understanding that we have to put our faith and our trust in God
mm-hmm.
and that in the end, we win. Isn't that something?
Mm-hmm.
Even though we go through difficulty, even though we don't completely understand, even though many times we can't see what God is doing, he's still at work.
Yes, he is.
And he hadn't forsaken us, and he's still working on our behalf.
Mm-hmm.
That's good news.
That's good news.
Okay. And so this first section, it talks about how God is beside us.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think when we look at this third psalm, which is one of the psalms attributed to David as a result of these 73 psalms that we're going to focus in on, it has a heading and a listing that helps us to understand that we should have confidence when we are facing the enemy.
Amen.
As believers, we should have confidence when we're facing the enemy. And that really kind of led me to John 10:10, Lady Kim. And that's one of the scriptures I quote all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Because if we're going to have confidence in facing the enemy, we got to know the enemy. We've got to know his MO. And then I think if we get a clear sense of his tactics and his ploys, it'll help us to have confidence in knowing that the Lord is beside us, and that we're more than conquerors through him that loved us.
Right.
Because John 10:10 says, the thief cometh not but to what? Steal,
kill,
and destroy. But Jesus says, I have come that you might have life,
right,
and have it more abundantly. And so even though we are faced with various situations, I think this chapter really kind of sets in motion the confidence we need to face the enemy.
Amen. That's
and
right.
We need confidence.
We need confidence.
And we can't think that the enemy is not real. We can't. Some people don't believe in devils and don't believe in demons and all of that. But all of that is actively involved in the earth, and a lot of the spirits that are roaming and moving about, they are yet visible and alive and well, and trying to steal our joy, trying to kill our progress, and hinder our destiny, and prevent us from being who God has called us to be.
Amen.
Okay.
Amen. Well, when you talk about, we need to have confidence facing the enemy, we have confidence because we should know that God is beside us,
mm-hmm,
that
mm-hmm.
He's beside us all the way. And so, you know, there are only 8 verses in this third chapter.
Okay.
And so, you know, there, you know, we can, if you don't mind going briefly through those.
Okay.
A few verses, but we know that David is the author, right? And mm-hmm. many became David's enemies and rose up against him, even his own son.
That's right.
David had a son named Absalom, and mm-hmm. Absalom wanted to be king, mm-hmm. you know? And so even Absalom was trying to kill his own father.
Wow.
And David knew that. And so David's enemies increased while his troops decreased.
Mm-hmm.
So David's enemies were many, and his friends were few,
okay,
so to speak. Many say that there was no help for their souls, but a believer knows who God is.
Mm-hmm.
We know where our help is. We
mm-hmm.
know where our help comes from. Believers have the Lord for their shield and protector, and God lifts and he provides favor for us.
Okay.
And I love that God favors me.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
He gives me something that nobody else can give me despite my circumstances. So the psalmist cried out to God with his voice in prayer. Have you ever cried out to God in prayer?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yes, I think that's important. You talked about at the beginning of Bible study how our lives kind of line up with the things in Psalms.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things that we can all agree upon is how we cry out to God in prayer.
Okay.
And guess what? God hears us.
God hears us.
And he comes to the scene and he rescues the Israelites in Egypt. And he hears our prayers and he answers them.
Okay. And when you talk about that cry, Lady Kim, a cry, when we cry to God, a cry really opens the heart and ear of God. And so God already knows about what we're going through. But many times we hold it and we don't release our frustration or our anguish, and we fail to let God see the true essence of what we're going through and expressions through cry and through, you know, whatever we need to do. But I think God wants us to be open and honest to Him about what we're going through. And then that, if we are open and honest before God, it puts us in a place, in my opinion, of being healed and delivered and set free from whatever it is that's hindering and preventing us from moving forward. I think it releases us, and then it also rescues us, you know, and God has our ear, and we have God's ear, and we know that God is beside us.
And I think one of the reasons why David cried out to the Lord is because he had a track record with God. Remember, we're talking about David. David was a shepherd, and from his youth, you know, he was courageous. You know, he attacked, when a lion and a bear came against him, he slew them. You know, he went up and slew Goliath also. So we know that he was a man of courage. And, you know, when he went to battle, he had a lot of military exploits. You know, the people chanted, Saul has killed his thousands, but David his 10,000s. And so he was a man of courage. But even a man of courage, even a man like David, had to cry out to God when people came against him, when the enemy came against him. And he said, arise, O Lord, was the battle cry for God to engage the enemy and defend his soldiers. He said, save me, O God. That's the cry of all mankind. Save us, O God, from all that we're going through. God has smitten David's enemies. All believers need to remember that Satan was defeated by the Lord Jesus Christ, who won victory for us all on the cross of Calvary. So that's something to shout about
right there. That's right.
Because,
that's right.
You know, just like David had his victory, we have our victory through Christ Jesus. And salvation belongs unto the Lord because Jesus Christ, our Lord, is salvation for all who will believe. You know, that's in Romans, the 10th chapter, 9 and 10, talking about, you know, salvation is for all who believe. Salvation is a blessing upon God's people.
It's a blessing. If we but confess and believe and accept Him, then we shall be saved. And that word saved also indicates being rescued.
Right.
And so a lot of people out there, Lady Kim, in that heathen category, where they have not completely surrendered themselves to God. And I think when people get to a place where they need God to do something for them, or they release themselves in terms of giving their life to God, and in an attitude of being open and honest before God, then salvation is available and God will rescue us. And with God, we have no need to be afraid.
Amen.
And that's,
Amen.
I think that's befitting of this particular chapter, chapter 3 of Psalms, is that we really, with God, have no reason, we have no need to be afraid. And we should have confidence when we're facing the enemy. But as I said earlier, we need to know the ploys and the M.O. Of the enemy. And if he tricked you once and he had on something, a different shade, then we need to be able to recognize that joker when he comes the next time.
Amen.
Wouldn't you agree?
Absolutely. But that's, you know, I've never been in military service, but before they go into any battle, they have a strategy or they have a plan in place to confront the enemy. They just don't pack up a lot of guns and go out into warfare, they have a plan, a strategy when they go out there. And the believer has to have a strategy too, a strategy to attack the enemy. And the first strategy is to know who the enemy is and what the tactic of that enemy is. A lot of times we think a person is our enemy, mm-hmm. you know, but, you know, it's not flesh and blood.
That's right.
You know, it's not flesh and blood that comes against us. It's powers and principalities and spiritual wickedness in high places that comes against us. So we have to look beyond the flesh to see if it's really the enemy.
That's good. Because, you know, a lot of people are being attacked nowadays. And if you don't identify the spirit that the enemy will use to throw us off track, then we'll find ourselves attacking the flesh and not really dealing with the warfare in terms of dealing with the spirit that's really trying to win the battle.
Amen. Mm-hmm. Amen.
Mm-hmm. So even as we move forward, we're in the fourth chapter now of Psalms, and we're still under that heading of God's beside us. God beside us. And when I looked at that, Lady Kim, God beside us, it means that, in my opinion, that we're in proper relationship with God,
mm-hmm.
And we know God and God knows us.
All right.
And so I think a lot of times when we're not in proper relationship with God, we don't have the confidence that we need when we're facing situations that we can't overcome in our own strength and our own power. God will give us what we need, and we will have the confidence, even if things don't work out according to our timetable, we know that God hadn't forsaken us. And so I think when we're in proper relationship, it produces power for us to continue to go through whatever the struggle might be. And then not only does it give us power, it gives us confidence, and it gives us clarity to know that our behavior and our response should be of such that we are more than conquerors when we're under attack.
Amen.
And so it's very difficult for the person who is not in proper relationship with God to have the kind of confidence they need when they come under attack, because this too will pass. And God is not always trying to get something done in the other person. Sometimes he's trying to get something done in us.
That's right.
So that we might be able to have a sense of courage, and our courage and conviction will be of such that when we are faced with another situation, we have that history that David did with God, knowing that we're going to come out of this.
You know, through.
God brought you through that last thing, and you look back and see how faithful he was in that, then he can handle this.
Yes, he can. Mm-hmm. Yes, he can.
Mm-hmm. Okay. You know,
David had some thoughts in the night.
Okay.
Know, and you know, when I thought about that, you know, isn't that when we think the most, the hardest and the longest is when we lay down at night,
mm-hmm.
and our mind gets busy, and sometimes we can't even rest.
Right.
But
right.
we have to remember that God hears us, all right, when we call to him. In the first verse of that fourth chapter, the psalmist wants God to hear him when he calls,
right.
or when he prays. And then he calls him, "Oh God of my righteousness," and the divine interpretation that resides in a holy, just God is not only in the psalmist,
mm-hmm,
all right?
Mm-hmm.
It lies with us also.
That's right, that's right.
He says that God has enlarged him, provided room for his distress in those trying times,
mm-hmm,
okay?
Mm-hmm.
And he asked that God, the righteous God, he asked him for his distress previously. He asked that God have mercy on him and hear his prayers.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. That's good. And you, like you said, there's a parallel there between what David was facing and what we face. And in the heat of the battle at night, when something's heavy on you, that's when you really kind of lend to more thinking about how you're going to get out of that situation. But David is clear here that divine intervention is available, and it resides in the holy and just God. And so he's calling upon the Savior to come and see about him. And even if he doesn't answer when we think he ought to, that doesn't mean that God is not still working on our case.
That's right.
And so we're having some technical difficulty. We see that the feed is really kind of dragging tonight. But we hope that those of you who are viewing, that you will continue to hang on in there with us as we move through. We're in Psalms number 4, and just talking about how David had some thoughts in the night. But the main heading is that God is beside us, God beside us, and that gives us the confidence of knowing that he hasn't forsaken us.
Amen.
Okay. And so God will keep us safe. That's really what it's talking about. And there's just few verses in this fourth chapter as well, just as it was in the third, but it really kind of lends itself to knowing that God keeps us safe. Mm-hmm. And even though the enemy tries his very best to damage us and kill, still he tries to destroy us in such a way that we want to give up and throw in the towel, know that God is beside you. And so I don't know, somebody perhaps tonight, Lady Kim, who's yet struggling with issue and trying to get some sense of resolve, know that God has not forsaken you.
Amen.
And even though it might be a very difficult time, and it seems like the enemy has just set up camp right outside your front door, know that God is still God, and he's still on the throne, and he will rescue you. He will deliver. But don't you grow weary and give up even in this situation that you're faced with.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Yes. And you know, the Lord has set us apart, just mm-hmm. like he set David apart.
That's right.
You know, he has set us apart because we are godly and because God is gracious towards us.
Mm-hmm.
The psalmist asked the Lord to hear him again, to hear his prayers. And went to hear his prayers when he calls. And how wonderful it is to be called of God, and the answer, God calls us, you know, he calls to us by answering our prayers.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
that's an awesome God, when we can call upon God and then God calls back by answering through prayer.
Mm-hmm.
And we stand in awe and we tremble at and fear and shake and reverence at what the Lord has done or is doing in our lives, not because of our sinfulness, but because God is so gracious and towards us.
Mm-hmm.
You know, God is displeased with our sins, but he loves us so much that we're not consumed, all right, by our sinful nature and our own thinking in our own spirit and evil heart.
Okay. That's good. And I think that fourth chapter really kind of, as we said earlier, just gives us the confidence of knowing that the Lord keeps us safe. And David was having some thoughts in the night. That's part of the way this whole conversation started as it relates to this fourth chapter. But this is under the section where God is beside us. And then when you look at that fifth chapter, it really kind of opens up with a morning prayer.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was thinking about Psalm 33, where it says, weeping may endure for a night,
mm-hmm.
but praise be to God, joy cometh in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
And so even though David had some hard times at night and thoughts at night about this struggle and the strain and the stress of his situation, when the morning came, he was in an attitude of prayer. And I think in this fifth chapter, prayer is being emphasized as a requirement and not an elective.
All right.
You know, when we were in school, you had some courses that were electives.
Right.
But there were some courses that were requirements. And so prayer is definitely a requirement if we're going to see it through what we're going through, and we're going to have the confidence and the boldness that we need if we're going to be more than conquerors.
Amen. Mm-hmm. Amen. We hope you're reading these chapters prior to coming to Bible study, and we will tell you the chapters that we will be covering next week so that you can read them in depth, because we're just kind of summarizing what the psalmist David is saying in these chapters. And like Pastor said, chapter 5 is a morning prayer.
A morning prayer, that's right.
Yeah,
that's
not right. A crying out prayer, a morning in the morning, like morning, noon, and night, a morning prayer. So it's a time of day. And in verse 1, he says, "Give ear to my words." And that is an earnest plea for the Lord to hear his utterances, or to hear his request, or to hear his cries.
Mm-hmm.
A requesting that the Lord would pay careful attention to his suffering.
Okay, okay.
His cry is an urgent prayer.
Wow.
God hears or hearkens to the voice of the cries of his people. He cries personally to his king and God, making it personal and individual. Father God, in the name of Jesus.
Mm.
When we say that, that's personal.
That's right.
That's right. Individual. We're making it personal. God being our Father, you know, in the name of Jesus. We have that personal relationship with him. The voice of prayer being heard refers to the general habit of praying in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
The psalmist felt that it was a general duty and privilege to call upon the Lord with the return of each morning. So, you know, morning by morning, new mercies.
See.
So we need to call upon God.
Hallelujah.
In the morning.
Yes,
you know,
God.
Dangerous enemies are needed early prayer. You know, so when we have dangerous enemies and foes that we're trying to defeat, we need to wake up early in the morning.
Early.
And start that prayer warfare.
Mm-hmm.
You know, sin is contrary to God's holy and righteous nature. We deserve to die for our sins, but Jesus became our substitute and had for his blood had to be shed for the remission of our sins.
That's right. I know as you were talking about that early morning prayer, Dr. Spencer yesterday mentioned that in one of his charges, that how important it is for us to have that quality time with God, because spiritual warfare usually happens early in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
And the enemy will try to derail your whole day by putting thoughts and putting things in the way. But if you're prayed up and you're ready to do battle in the spirit early, and you go ahead and get with God as you prepare your day and not let all that stuff come up against you, I believe it helps us to get through the day. That doesn't mean that things not going to come up now, that things won't happen. But if you got a prayed up mind and a prayed up spirit, when something hits you, it's going to bounce off you like, you know, you're going to have on a repellent, what they call it, a repellent.
Mm-hmm.
And it'll help you to endure the attacks of the enemy if you continue to be prayed up and stay ready for what lies ahead. Because we don't know what might happen in the course of a day, but we need to start our day with prayer. And so a lot of times people debate about whether prayer is a duty or the desire, you know, but we need to make sure that we align ourselves and say, no, this is something I got to do. Mm-hmm. I must do. I have to do this in order for me to be in a right mind and to get through my day and to be at peace with God, because it puts us in proper relationship with God. And if we're going to be in relationship with God,
mm-hmm.
then we need to commune with him.
Amen.
We can't just say that we love God and that the Lord is our shepherd if we don't ever talk to him.
Amen.
Yeah,
amen.
Yeah, yeah.
That's good stuff.
And so this fifth chapter really kind of gives us the confidence of knowing that the Lord knows the truth even when other people lie on us and misuse us and abuse us. And if we're in relationship with God, then God has promised that he'd never leave us nor forsake us.
Absolutely. When you talked about lying, that verse 6 in the 5th chapter says, the Lord that will destroy those that speak falsehoods or lying, as they make it their business to raise or scatter false and inflammatory statements concerning David, as many did. So, you know, God has promised that he's going to destroy those liars.
That's right. That's right.
It says, but as for me, that's